Today Shirim Sechta Menachas Dafnam Nun Hei. And we will get on Daf Nun Hei Amar Aleph, eight lines from the top. Tanur Rabbanan. As we discussed in our previous shir, when we speak about figs, there's Tainim and there's Groigris. There's Tainim, which means that they're figs, fresh figs, and there's Groigris, which are dry figs. And the Gemara is going to begin this, and the Gemara in the previous year already had beginning a discussion, when can you take truma from tainim, figs, on groigris, on dried figs? Obviously, the size of the dried figs is much smaller than the size of the fresh figs. On the other hand, dried figs, groigris, are something that will last longer. Fresh figs are better, but they don't last as long. And all of these concepts and facts that we just mentioned are relevant to this discussion of how we take truma, when maybe we take truma for one type of fig on another type of fig. So begins the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Tarma Tainim al Groigris, we're allowed to take Tainim for Groigris. That means if we have 90 Groigris and 10 Tainim, we're allowed to take the 10 that we have to take for Meiser out of entire number of 100, maybe Tainim. B'makom, where is this permissible? B'makom shlas regil masas Tainim to Groigris. In a place where it's common to make Tainim into Groigris. Because since it's common to make Tainim into Groigris, the Halacha looks at these Tainim already as if they are Groigris. However, loy Groigris al Tainim, we can't take groigris for tainim. I feel makom shiragil lasses matainim groigris, even if it's in a place where they're ultimately going to make the tainim into the groigris, because right now you're taking groigris, which are smaller than the tainim, and therefore that's unacceptable. Omar, another Gemara reviews this braisa. The braisa says, tarm tainim al groigris, we could take tainim for groigris, but makom shiragim lasa tainim groigris. In a place we're ultimately going to make the tainim into groigris. What do we learn from this braisa? That only in a makom shiragim lasas, where the tainim are going to be made into groigris, then this approach is acceptable. Av makom in a place, shem regilim, that's not what they're ultimately going to do. Loi, we can't take from tainim on groigris, because we can't take from tainim, which is not something, as we said a few moments ago, going to last that long, for groigris, dried figs, which are going to last longer, and therefore you can't take from one on the for from you can't take from the tainim, you can't take from in that case you can't take tainim for groigris. So Gemara drills down. Echidami, exactly what is the case of this braisa? Idik a koyin, if this is a place where there's a koyin available, and then we could give him the truma to eat immediately. So, idik a koyin, if it's a place where there's a koyin who we could give him the truma and that will be able to enjoy it immediately. So the question is, b'makom shein rogel, in a place where they normally don't make tainim into groigris, Amayloi, why can't you take the tainim on the groigris? Why would that not be acceptable? Atanan, makom sheish koyin, in a place where there's koyin available, tarim min ha-yofa, you could take from the better for the poorer. And tainim, fresh figs, are better than dried figs. There will only be a place, says the Gemara, the elab shita, the lekker koyin. There is no koyin available. So what does the Gemara mean to say by saying that there is no coin available? But the Gemara means to say, by saying there is no coin available, the Gemara means to say that since there's no coin available, so taking tainim is not such a great move, because they're fresh, but they're going to get spoiled. And therefore, it's not considered you're taking minayofa from the better on the poorer. El Psheta, we have to explain that the Braisa is speaking about a case, the lekker koyin, that there is no koyin available. And that's why groigris could be taken because Tainim, even though they're better, won't last. Ema Sefer, so says the Gemara, let's continue learning that Braisa. The Braisa continues saying, Floy Gregus, so Tainim, I feel the Malcolm Rash last train of Gregus. You can't use Gregus for Tainim if it's even in a place where ultimately they'd normally make Tainim into Gregus. But ask the Gemara if we're explaining that the Braisa is speaking about a case, the lack of coin, that there is no coin available, that we could give him the nice, fresh Tainim, a Mailoi. Why is taking Gregris not a good option? A Mailoi. Why is taking Gregris not a good option? On the contrary, ask the Gemara. But Tanan, doesn't the Mishnah teach us the Makom Shein coin where there is no coin available, Taimim and Eskayim? The best thing to do is to take something that's going to last. And the Gregris is going to last longer to Tainim. Elapshita, how must we explain the Braisa? The Braisa is speaking about a situation, the Ikka coin, where there's a coin available. And therefore, since we have Tainim, and there's a coin who we could give it to immediately, we shouldn't give Gregris, which are not as good, because that would be considered a situation of Tairimin Ara Alayofa. So ask the Gemara, now this becomes difficult to understand. Because according to the way the Gemara is establishing that Braisa, we end up with a situation, direct ratio to like a coin. The ratio is talking about a situation where there is no other coin available. And since there is no coin available, that's why we have to take Gregris, El ratio to like a coin. And safe, as we just explained, is speaking about a case. The Ikka coin, is that the way to understand the Braisa? That the Reish is talking about where there is no other coin available, and in such case, the best thing to do is take Gregris, and the safer is where there is a coin, and in such a place, take Tainim? Answer to Marin, there is no other option how to understand the Braisa properly, other than saying that the Reish, the Ikka coin, that the Reish is talking about a case where there is no other coin. The Seif is talking about a case that there is a coin. Rashi points out that one thing that comes clear in our Gemara is that the way you take Meiser by Tainim, by Gregris, is by counting. As we said from the beginning of the Shir, that we have 100, and you have to. If you have 100, then you have to take 10. There are those that have a hard time explaining that's the proper way of taking Meiser. Is a Meiser taken by weight? There's another question that the Poskim discuss. Our Gemara has established that we always do Mina Yofa Ala Rob. We take from the better produce to cover the weaker produce. V'loy Mina Raw ala yofa. But when we speak about raw and yofa, there's different concepts, there are different ways of deciding what's the raw, what's the not so good, and what's the yofa. Is raw and yofa measured by what's tastier, better, expensive? Is it based on what will last longer? As the source of this halacha, that you always have to take mina raw, mina yofa, is because the pasuk says, "Mikol matan sechem trimu as kol trumas Hashem mikol chelboy." Kol chelboy means the best. The Gemara, however, teaches us, "Omer Rab Ila, minayim l'tayim mina yofa mina raw la yofa." How do we know if you reversed and you took mina raw la yofa? She trumas a truma, it's still valid. Shenema v'lo sisul of chait barimches chelboy memenu, that you won't get an avera. So the Gemara teaches us, Emeina Kaddish, if what you did is totally invalid, the Sias Chayit Lama, where is there an Aveira? It must be, Mikan L'Tayim Mina Ra'al Yofa. That if you took from the Ra'al Yofa, Shetrumasa Truma. So the Brisker Rav, in trying to understand this halacha, of you're always supposed to take, Mina Yofa La Ra'al, is it a din, and like Kid the Mitzvah? Now we're always supposed to do the Mitzvah in the best way possible. And the best way possible is mina yofa. Well, it's not a din in the hafrosha. That when we're doing the hafrosha, we have to do the hafrosha in the best way possible. It's a din in the nesina to the kohen. We're supposed to give the ma'aser to the kohen, the truma to the kohen. We're supposed to give it in the best way possible. What would be the nafkamina between these two approaches? The nafkamina will be, the halacha teaches us that if a kohen himself has produce. So what does the halacha say? The halacha says that even though he has his own produce, that doesn't absolve him from having to have to take off truma. He has to take off truma, but he could keep it for himself. So now we need to. Now we can understand the question that the Brisker Rav posed. If we say it's a din in Afrosha, that Afrosha should always be done in the best way possible, so it makes no difference who's doing the Afrosha. If the Afrosha is being done by a Kohen, or the Afrosha is being done by a Yisrael, the Afrosha, the Torah wants to be done in the best way possible. But if it's a din in the Sina, that what's given to the Kohen, we want to give the Kohen the best, here the Kohen is going to have it no matter what, because he's the recipient of what is happening here. If that's the case, by a Kohen, there would not be a halacha that we have to take mina yofa el ara. He says that could be the connection to what we learn in Masechta Trumas. The question that Gemara Masechta Trumas, which is of course most relevant to Zman Hazeh, where we don't have a Kohen to give the Truma to, because we don't know who is a Kohen. The Kohen are Tamei. So with the Kohen are Tameim, so what we're taking off, we're going to have to assume is going to ultimately end up in the garbage when it gets rotten. What's the halacha? So Brisker Rav says, going back to what we began in this discussion, what should we prefer to take? Should we take Mina Yofa from what's the best, or should we take Mina Meskayim for what's going to be last the longest? And he actually says that this is a Machloikis Tanoim and Masechta Trumas, Perek Beis, Mishnah Dalet. The Tanakama's opinion is that you should take from what's going to last longer. Rabbi Huda says you should always take Mina Yofa. Says the Brisker Rav, what is the basis of their Machloikis? Tanakama holds that the halacha is that it has to be given to the Kohen. And therefore, says the Tanakama, here we don't have a Kohen to give it to. There the halacha is we should give what's going to last longer. Because by giving what's lasting longer, what we're really saying is that we hope that by the time, while it's still usable, while there's still edible, Mashiach will come. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says the Brisker Rav, is of the opinion is that it's a din in the Maisa Afrosha, that the Torah HaKadosh wants that the Maisa Afrosha should always be done from what's best. The fact that now we only have a Kohen that's going to be able to eat it doesn't change the Chiv of taking Afrosha. It's interesting, in this question, the Rambam actually passes like the Tanakhama. And the Rambam paskins that when you have this dilemma, you should rather take mina meskayim from what's going to last longer for loy mina yofa. The Shulchan Aruch actually paskins ein tarmin ela mina yofa. This is the Shulchan Aruch in Yoridei Simin Shin Lamed Aleph Sif Nun Beis. Says the Shulchan Aruch ein tarmin ela mina yofa. The truma should always be taken mina yofa, as we learn from the pasuk. But says the Shulchan Aruch, but nearly the hashtag liberazla, as we said a moment ago, nowadays we don't give it to the Kohen. First of all, we're not sure the Kohanim are, even if we are to be certain who's the Kohen, or the Kohanim are Tomei, ain't la hakbid bakach. But, says the Shulchan Aruch, miu b'maisa nitin l'levi l'oni, maisa which is given to Levi and Oni, and there's no din by maisa of Tuma, yesh la hakbid, to always give, Mina Hayofa, says the Brisker Rav, that halacha really is dependent on the machloikis that we just quoted of the Ram of the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda in that Mishnah Masechta Trumas. Continues the Gemara, but our Gemara just established that this brisa is not consistent. The Reish is talking about where there is no coin available, and that's why we should give groigris. The Sefer is talking about where there is a Kohen, and that's why we should give him minayofa. Amar Papa, to which Rapapa comments, Shmamina, based on what we just learned in the Gemara, we learn a new concept. Dachkinon umakmina masnisen, we're going to take a Mishnah and explain the Mishnah betray Tami, as we just said, that the Reisha and the Sefer are not consistent. One is talking about the Lekka Koyin, one is talking about the Ikka Koyin. That's something we prefer to do. For the Mekmina, we don't say that the Mishnah represents Trey Tanoi, it represents a Machalikas Tanoim. We want to avoid explaining that it's representing a Machalikas Tanoim. Says the Mishnah, Kol HaMenachos Neloishis B'Poishim. All the Korban Minchas that are baked, not all Korban Minchas are baked, as we learned and will learn, but any Korban Minchas that's baked is kneaded with warm water. Don't use hot water, because all the hot water will do is just cook the dough, and that won't be so tasty. We don't use cold water, because they cause the dough just to crumble. What we do is that we use lukewarm water. However, by using lukewarm water, it opens up a dilemma, because that is the most likely for it to become chametz. And as we're learning throughout our shiurim, we're trying to avoid them becoming chametz. And therefore, why do we do it? So I saw the Rishonim give two explanations. One explanation is, as we just said, there's a din of lemoshcha, that we always use, we want to have it in the best way possible. And lukewarm water is the way that the Korban Mincha is going to come out best. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat is, as we're learning and we're going to continue learning in our shiurim, that it's not supposed to become chametz. But not only is it not supposed to become chametz, but we have to create a situation, which we find by matzah for Pesach the same, where it can become chametz, but we do shimur that it doesn't become chametz. How is that best possible, accomplished? The way it's accomplished is by using lukewarm water. There's an interesting question that the Brisker Rav says. The Mishnah says, we have to make sure they don't become chametz. What does that mean? Does it mean that it's not allowed to be chametz? Or is it a din that it has to be matzah? That's the shmir. Just like by Pesach, it has to be meshumah l'shem matzah. Here too, it has to be meshumah l'shem matzah. And the Chazanish is quite clear that his opinion is that the goal is not that it's not allowed to be chametz. What it means is that it has to be done in a way that we want it to be matzah and do shmura. And it should be shmura l'shem matzah. Moreover, I saw that the Migdash David explains that what they used to do is, first they did it, they put it in oil, and after they did it in oil, then afterwards they would use this lukewarm water. Misham shleyach mitzu, but tells us the Mishnah Mechimitzu Shireah, if it does become chametz, the halacha is over the Loisa say, you're over a mitzvah loisa say. What does that mean? Because as I saw, the Koran Oyer asks, once it's already finished and baked and put on the mizbeach, what pshata becomes chametz? So he says, we're talking about something that's not baked. The milchus soilus that's not baked, we have to prevent it from becoming chametz. Continues the Mishnah, mechmitza shirah, if the part that's left over for the kahanim to eat become chametz, also over v'loisa say, that too is a situation that you're over v'loisa say. Shneimar, the pasuk says, kol mincha shetekriv l'Hashem, any mincha that's brought, l'sasa chametz, you have to be careful that it shouldn't become chametz. V'chayiv, furthermore teaches us the Mishnah, this isser, that we're not allowed to let it become chametz, applies to l'shasa, when we knead the dough, al-richasoy, when we form it into rolls, v'alfiyasoy, and we bake it. We have to make sure that during all these steps, that not let it become chametz. It's interesting to point out that not only may the chametz that's put on the mizbeach become chametz, but even the shirayim, which are eaten by the kohanim, also may not become chametz. And Ramei Simcha, Dar Sameach, makes a very interesting point. He says, when we think about the achila of the korban mincha, it's not the same as achila of all other kabbanis. When we think about all other kabbanis, there are two parts. There's the part that's, so to speak, eaten by the mizbeach, and there's the part that's eaten by the kahanim. Here he says that the shirayim that are eaten are part of the achila of the kachim. And I saw Rav Shmuel Deutsch Zitzal in the Sefer Birchus Koyin makes a very interesting observation that the Torah in Parshas V'Yikra speaks about all the kabbanos that are brought, and in Parshas Tzav, the Torah speaks about the eating of those kabbanos. The Korban Mincha is only spoken about Parshas V'Yikra. It's not spoken about in Parshas Tzav. So suggest Rav Deutsch Zitzal, because the Torah is trying to teach us that the shirayim of a korban mincha are different than all other animals. All other kabbanos, as we just said, there are two parts. There's the part that's put on the mizbeach, and the part that's eaten by the owners, by the kohanim, whoever. Here, there's a point that the shirayim that are eaten by the kohen are also part of what's considered the achila of the mizbeach. This Mishnah, particularly the way we explain the Mishnah, teaches us a very interesting situation. And that is that sometimes the halacha wants us to do something, even though it could cause us to do something wrong. And the question here is, sometimes the halacha tells us that if you do something that you're not obligated to do, you're considered a hedyot. And in our Gemara, it seems to be teaching us that you're not doing the wrong thing. Making it possibly chametz might be the right thing to do. And how do we judge such a situation? So I saw that the Chashuki Chemed is troubled with this question. The Chashuki Chemed seems to take the approach, everything in life, we have to see what, we have to make a benefit-risk ratio. And what we have to see and judge is how likely is it that it's going to become chametz. If it's likely that it's going to become chametz, then avoid making it chametz. If you could protect it and like that fulfill the mitzvah properly, then the halacha would be try to do it in a way that you could do the mitzvah in the best way possible. So says the Gemara that the Mishnah, that as we just discussed, that not only on the Korban Mincha is the issa that it may not become chametz, but even on the shiori mincha is the same halacha. Where do we know this then? Amar Reish Lakish Tamei Kro Lo Yisofes Chametz Chelkem Nosati Oisa Meishem. Says the Gemara, Afilu Chelkem, even the share of the kahanim and the menachis, the shiorim Lo Yisofes Chametz may not be made into chametz. Ask the Gemara, Hai L'Chokhi Dosa, is this what that pasuk comes to teach us? Hamibayle, isn't the pasuk needed to L'Chetanya? The pasuk says regarding the mincha, L'Yisofes Chametz. And the question is, Ma Tamaloymer, what is that pasuk coming to teach us? V'lekvah Nemar, doesn't the pasuk already say, L'Yisofes Chametz, that the Korban Mincha is not allowed to be chametz? Answers the Braisa, L'Fish Nemar L'Yisofes Chametz. The pasuk says you're not allowed to make it chametz. Yochel Lo Yechayiv, we would think, as the Mishnah just identified different activities that are involved in making Korban Mincha, so we would think that if somebody did the Lisha and the Aricha and the Fia all with Chametz, you'll only be Chayiv one laugh. Tamalayman let's offer Chametz. So now says the Gemara, Afia Bechlal, the Fia is included in the laugh of Loisasa Chametz. Afia bechlal hoisa. Afia was included in what the Torah says, lo yisasa chametz. The loyma yotzus, why was it singled out? Lekash alea, ma afia miyachedu shimaisi yechidi. It's a single identifiable act, and there and yichayev ala b'fnei atzmai yichayev on for making it b'chimutz afani avi. So therefore, we will learn the same by the luchoshoi verichoshoi v'kama as yichidu by any identifiable act. Says the Gemara, what do you mean by adding any identifiable act? L'suya kituf. What they normally would do is they would smear the loaves with water, with liquid. All of that have to. So that also is a ma'is yichidi. It's a single identifiable act. So the Rishonim ask a question. The Gemara Masech Demakis and in different places in Shas teaches us they ain't loikin a lav shebeklalus beklalus. Malchus is not given when you have a lav that has in it many yisurim. So why is the halacha, as we learned in the Mishnah, if somebody did lisha arich and afia, he's chayiv separate malchus? Why would that not be considered a lav shebeklalus? So the Sefer Michas Klein answers, says that every ma'isa is considered a separate ma'isa, and it's considered like sa'asa chametz. When it would be considered lav shebeklalus? He says the lav shebeklalus means when we have a pasuk and we learn many different halachas from the same pasuk. When we learn many different halachas from the same pasuk, it's considered lav shebeklalus. But when it's not one lav, when it's one lav, there's many applications of that one lav, that is not considered a situation of lav shebeklalus. But what we see from here is that the pasuk says, loisofek chametz. What does the Torah want to teach us? That for every act, you chayiv separately. So how can we say that it's coming to tell us that you're not allowed to make the shrayim into chametz? Answers the Gemara, anan mechalkin kamrinan. The loch that shrayim can't be made into chametz, says the Gemara, we learn from the word chalkam, and that's why this pasuk is available to teach us yichayiv for each act separately. Says the Gemara, maybe the pasuk of Chalkam is coming to teach us that there's a loisa say on the shrayim, and the pasuk is coming to teach us that that's what the pasuk is coming to teach us, and only that, and not to teach us also that for every act you chayiv a separate malchus. And says the Gemara, if that would be the entire purpose of the pasuk, imkei lichtav chalkam loisafek chametz. My loisafek chametz chalkam. Why was the Torah say it this way? Shmaminotarti. The Torah is teaching us two halachas, that for every act yichayiv separately, and also that yichayiv for the shrine. Veima, says the Gemara, yes, the Torah singled out afia. So ask the Gemara, afia depart by Rachmana. The Torah singled out afia. So by afia yichayiv malchus if you bake it with bechimutz. L'chayiv chadis. Inach, but when everything else, where the Torah didn't single out, l'chayiv chadakula, that if you did those various acts, you'll get malchus, but you won't get separate malchus for each one. Answers the Gemara Shem David Dovshay Beklal. Afia was included in what the Torah says, loisas chametz, and then the v'yotzman l'klal lamed, and then it was singled out. And the rule is, when we have such a circumstance, loy l'lamed al'atzma yotzah, it's not only here to teach us regarding it itself, alamna klal kul yotza, it's coming to teach us that any act yichayiv a separate malchus. Veima, ask the Gemara, maybe the way to understand the pasuk is actually very different. Eima loisas chametz klal, that the words loisas chametz are to be looked like at a klal, a very general rule. Then the Torah says loisas chametz, which is a prat, which is a detail. And we have a rule, klal or prat. When you have a klal and a prat, ein b'chlal al shabab b'prat. The prat defines the klal. What does the Gemara mean to say? That the Gemara is going to say that it's ein b'afir in, that the only act for which you chayib for doing the b'chimutz is that only afir, midachrin aloy, nothing else. So the question, of course, is, if that's what the Torah is trying to teach us, that there's only a chiv for afia, so why couldn't the Torah just say loisafa chametz, if that's what the Torah meant to say? And we would know you're only chiv for afia, and you're not chiv for anything else. Why did the Torah have to frame it in a klal and a prat. So I saw that the Mefarshim answer, because if the Rashba answers this, if we only had the pasuk la'safa chametz, I would use the mamet sinu method to say that it's not only a fear, but it's everything else. But that's only if the Torah would have only said la'safa chametz. But we have a situation of a klal or prat. The Torah is saying only for the prat, only by a fear will you be chayim nowhere else. Answers the Gemara Omer Aproitki, Shem Davalei Klal Prat Amrchotim Zeh Bezeh. The Pasuk Loisa Chometz is found in Parshas VeYikra. The Pasuk Loisa Chometz is found in Parshas Tzav. The Klal Prat Amrchotim Zeh Bezeh. Whenever we have a situation where the Klal Prat are not near each other, says the Gemara, Ain't Donai Soi the Klal Prat, it's not treated a Klal Prat. And the simplest way of understanding this, I saw this from the Sfasemis, because Ein Mugdam Mocha B'Torah. When you have two parshas in the Torah that are not next to each other, we don't know which is supposed to be the first and which is supposed to be the second. And since they're not, we don't know which is the first and which is the second, we don't know if we should treat it as a klal prat. We don't know if we should be treated as a prat or klal. We don't know if we should treat it as anything. And that's why the halacha is that we don't treat it like a klal prat. Is this a fact that when the klal prat are not next to each other, ain't done nice with klal prat, they're not treated like a klal prat? But Tanya, the pasuk says regarding the sor that the nasi brings if he did an avera. The Targum Dosha says the shachras of a makom shiyishka this oila lefnei Hashem chatasu heichen oila neshchatas. It should be the same place as the oila. The oil is done in the tzofen, as the pasuk said. We learned this extensively in Masechta Zvachim. So we learn from there. Afkan, the sor of the nasi, is also done with tzofen. Is the question? Is that the source that it's brought with tzofen? The Torah says regarding all kamchatas, and the sor nasi is a chatas. So why do we need this other pasuk? Lama zayetza, to teach us the loikava, if it isn't brought there, if some like shakarais of tzofen, if you didn't shech the tzofen, pasloi it's pasul. Continues the braisa. At the oima lekach yasa, is that the person purpose of the pasuk that if you didn't do b'tzofen, even by the evid, it's pasul? Or ain't or maybe what the pasuk is teaching us, elazeh ta'an tzofen. Maybe the Torah is teaching us that only the sar nasi has to be brought b'tzofen. Vein achet ta'an tzofen, and nothing else. The pasuk is teaching us only there is there a specific halacha that has to be done b'tzofen. Answers the braisa to its question. Tamalam v'shachar as a chatas, b'makam oila shezeh b'nei av v'kol chatas shetun tzofen. From here we learn that this is something that's called b'nei av. A b'nei av means that the Torah teaches us in one place the halacha, and everything else is learned from there. I saw the Maral in a sifa alichus oilam teaches us that just like children are extension of their parents, a b'nei av means that the halacha is taught in one place, and everything else are learned from the av, that halacha. So now the Gemara makes the point. Tama de kosu rachmona, the fact that the Torah wrote by karmen chatas, v'shachras hachatas v'mekoyim ha'olam, that's how we know that all karmen, all chatas have to be b'tzofen. Halav hachi, we didn't have that pasuk, havamina, we might have thought that only the sar nasi zeh ta'an tzofen must be brought in the tzofen. Ve'ein acha ta'an tzofen, no other karmen chatas has to be brought in the tzofen. Like my tama, why will we come to such a conclusion? Says the Gemara, Lama Shem Dava Klal Prat. The Klal is the pasuk that says B'makam Ashatishka the oil to shachid achatas, and the prat is the pasuk that says by the sar nasi v'shachar ayse b'makam shishka the oil. And we would treat it as a klal uprat, ein b'chlal al ma b'frat, and we would say it only applies to the son nasi, nowhere else. Even though, says the Gemara, afkav the mechokim zamizah, even though the klal is said in Parshat Tzav, the prat is said in Parshat V'yikra, that still would not prevent us from donning us a klal uprat. So the Gemara is saying, you is suggesting it shouldn't be learned a klal uprat because the next, they don't work. Says the Gemara, they do. You can learn klal uprat even when the two psukim are not next to each other. Maskler Ravashi, to which Ravashi asks, hi klal pratu, is this considered a case of klal prat? On the contrary, this should be considered prat or klal, because the pasuk by the Sora Nosi is said in Parshas V'yikra, and the pasuk of the klal is said in Parshas Tzav. So says the Gemara, even if you're suggesting that they don't have to be next to each other to have this illegitimate limud, but this becomes, says the Gemara, a situation prat to klalhu. And the halacha is, when we have the prat and then the klal, the halacha is nasa klal moisuva prat, but masrabla kamila. And we would say that all kabbanas have to be brought in tzofen. And why we didn't have to learn it from the Chatas Yochid. Ela Tana, says the Gemara, why did he not want to learn from the regular Chatas? Because the pasuk v'shachar oisik kashalei, this was a kasha. This was the brayse's dilemma. Kama ayena ella ze ton tzofen vein achat ton tzofen the kuf rachmana. Because when the Torah speaks about the sorrow of the nasi, it says v'shachar oisai. So says the Gemara, the hashda nafkalei. Now that the Tana has learned that we know that the kav mechatis needs tzofen because the pasuk says v'shachar achatis shvakim oila. So when the Torah said the word oisai by the sar nosil matimai, answers the Gemara, lamuti, it comes to teach us also b'tzofen, vein tzir b'nachshon. The Nasiim at the time of the Chanukah Mizbeach, every day brought a series of kabbanas, and one of the kabbanas that they brought was a sawyer as a karmachatis, that the halach is that karmachatis doesn't have to be brought b'tzofen. Because the only time a karmachatis has to be brought b'tzofen is when it came, because they did an Aveira, for which b'meizah you do Yechayev Karis, and when you do b'shag, you come b'chattis. There, they just brought it because that was part of the kabbanas that they bring. Ask the Gemara, Sakadat Chamina, Hoyavas Rabbi Linyan Smicha, so why would we think that it needs Tzofen, that we need a ribui? Answers the Gemara, Hoyavas Rabbi Linyan Smicha, since we see that the Nasi, when he brought his kabbanas, he had to do Smicha, the Srabi Nami Tzofen, we would think that they should also have to have tzofen, kamashman, that they don't. Ask them of a smicha, gufa, minolan. How do we know that they required smicha? So the mefarshim point out, isn't the halacha that all kabbanas that are brought by a yachid, all kabbanas that are brought by an individual have to have smicha? So why would we think that the sar nachshon doesn't? Answers the Gemara, the Tanya, the pasuk says v'samach yod aroish sawyer, the rabbi saw nashla smicha. So why would we think it doesn't? So I saw that the Rishonim answer that since the sawyer nachshon was a carbon l'shah, was a one-time carbon, even though it's a carbon that's brought by an individual, we would think that it doesn't require smicha. How do we know that it does? Says the Gemara, smicha gufim nolan. Says the Tanya, v'samach yod aroish sawyer, the rabbis saw nachshon l'smicha divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, how do we know that it requires smicha? What do we use in our pasuk? The rabbis see avodas kachavim. If the klai saw divrei aveira of avodah zara based on an erroneous psak of bezdin, the halach is that the kohen gadol brings that carbon with smicha. So we learn from the sar nasi to the sar nachshon that it requires smicha.